This is Podcast X. I'm Trenchcoat Mafia. With me this time around, again, is Timothy J. Thume. And we will be reviewing Eerie from Warren Publishing, issue 89. Or at least we will be reviewing the one story in there that's pretty much about a, well, hot naked bitch. This is Eerie, issue 89, which I know is a series that has been reviewed on PCX once before while Vixen was here in a chemically altered
state. I thought I was creepy or something.
You know what? I think you're right, because creepy? Yeah, creepy was mostly like one-part stories, and that comic that we reviewed I think was all one-part stories, and Eerie had like mostly serials. Which is mostly what this issue seems to be, is like continued stories, but not this one. This is a one-part thing here. Yeah, man, I used to... Thank goodness for these comics in the 70s, because they were depraved, evil, sick, and wrong, and therefore there was always something for me to read.
I'm offended. I'm offended by your choice of reading. I'm offended by the picture inside this magazine. Or the 1978 Warren calendar, and it's got a picture of a black man choking.
What page? What page?
The second page after the cover. There's a black man in the bed with a white woman, but he's choking her.
Okay, that's Othello.
Yeah, I know.
And that's racism, what happened.
Yeah, when racism go back to Shakespeare time, he had to write. The only story he ever wrote about a black man was him. See how these niggas kill our white woman.
You know what's interesting is, as I look at the woman, I think that's Vampirella. Like, yeah. They worked that Othello into the Warren universe.
Yeah.
They're just playing. You can't kill Vampirella.
But I'm still alluding to the real Othello story, which this is probably, she probably is going to kill him.
Well, actually, you should feel complimented that Warren is depicting the black man as an efficient force for killing bitches. So,
no,
like, he is serving the ultimate good here.
I am not you or what's his face, Starhawk. I'm not for female genocide.
I'm just going to ask, what are you doing that I am hearing in the background? This was like during the Ecstatics show too.
There's, I'm clicking. This...
Well, stop it. Okay, as I myself click quietly to, I think it's...
How could you click quietly? Okay, you probably got a headset.
Do you ever hear me? Well, I do have a headset. I have a headset.
Yeah, mic. I don't have a headset right now.
Well, what does that have to do with clicking? I don't get it.
Because my mic is near the mouse.
Well, what? Well, move it. move the mic or move yourself.
What the heck?
I never hear this on your show. I know you know how to do this.
Because I am a responsible comic book buyer, and I buy the comics and I have in my hands. I don't read my stuff off of computer screens.
Wait a minute. Let me make a note here. Buy Tim headset mic. See, I'll have to save up for this, but it probably will be enough time that I'll be able to. Well, then again, this was expensive, though. Shit. I don't know why a headset mic should be, like, too much, frankly, to pay, but they are. Oh, well. Here it is. What the fuck was this called? Did you read the prologue, too? There's, like, two pages before the actual story.
Yeah.
No, I didn't the first time. Well, actually, the first time I did, when I had this in paper when I was a kid. But on the computer, I, like, thought I had scrolled to page one. It was actually just, like, the title page. Alrighty. Yeah.
It's a bitch.
It's a bitch, yeah. although I'd like the 1950s dress she has on. Like, I would enjoy tearing that off of her as I'm getting ready to rape her, and she's thinking she can fight me off. So,
wait a minute, that's thoughts of a criminal, a psychopath.
No, can't people think whatever they want to think?
Oh, God.
Is it? See, that's why it's not illegal to fantasize about raping a bitch.
Yes, but it's only a matter of time before those thoughts become real.
No. I would never admit that, so it's okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Before we begin the story, I'm going to have some, some kind thoughts about a human being and say that I want to say
that you hope that plane in the background crashes and everybody on it dies. What?
Listen, that's the sound of, I don't know what I was going to say. I got nothing. There's going to be a joke in that. But anyway, yeah, if somebody did die today. And I want to say rest in peace to John Hughes, creator of the films, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Home Alone.
Wait a minute. He wasn't that old, was he?
59. He dropped dead of a heart attack while walking through Manhattan today.
So what I should learn from that story is that I should avoid Manhattan. What?
Anyway.
Oh, man. I want to say this, though. And here's why, it's like, okay, he's dead. Moving on. When was the last good movie he made?
He retired a decade ago to spend more time with his family.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Anytime anybody says they're retiring from whatever to spend more time with their family, it means they were, driven out of the business or there was some scandal. Oh, there you go. He was probably, fucking little boys.
The negativity of people, why say these things? Why can't it just be true? Why can't
if you said, when Steve Gerber died, okay, I thought that was a loss to the comics world.
What's the last comic he did? That's right.
He died while he was writing Countdown to Mystery.
Yes, then that has made an indelible mark in the last year on the comics industry. Everybody
it has. There's even been an episode of Thum about it.
Moving on.
Because I was like, I want to review Countdown to Mystery.
Exactly. The only one. And you didn't even review the whole story, just a piece of it.
No. I read the whole story, but I really wanted to review the Killhead story.
And you said everything else was crap, including the rest of that Dr.
Fate. No, stop that. Not the Dr. Fate Gerber stuff. The Eclipso stuff was crap, but he didn't write that.
But you couldn't even be fit to review the whole story, Dr. Fate. You just wanted the little piece, the 5-page story.
Because if I reviewed an eight-part story like that, it would be like a 16-episode podcast.
I'm talking about at least that one comic, that one, the whole story, that's in and of itself. But
that was it. That was the best part because he just, Killhead, Killface, whatever his name was. He was great. He just wanted that girl to debase herself and let him basically rape her and to destroy her soul forever. And tragically, she wouldn't let him. It was so powerful that that evil bitch basically forced him to just go out and kill people. And it's what a great story.
Masochistic, misogynistic thoughts. Yeah, we need more of that in our comic books.
Well, yes, we do.
What you talk about is that, yeah, you're right. Steve Gerber was a great writer. That's why he had worked nonstop from the 70s to the 80s, like Chris Claremont and John Byrne. Oh, wait a minute. No, he didn't. He barely worked his way back into the
Okay, he had moved onwards and upwards into television, and
writing what? What did he write in TV?
Well, I know he wrote an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Oh yeah, that's really going to keep. That's really keeping them bills being paid.
Okay, he's also
was 1992.
The co-creator of Thundar the Barbarian.
1983.
He wrote the best G.I. Joes.
1983. Okay, this story prologue to Crystal Bell. A bitch is coming to Hollywood Oh, so this is great. It's a nice, bright, starry-eyed girl. She's going to a man's Chinese theater, and she's looking at the big stars there. She wants to be a star. She's 18. So good. That's a nice, cheery episode of a girl starting her life and her career.
Right, right. And now this kindly, well-meaning guy shows up and gives her his business card that he's a producer and shit. Because look at her looking at the card. Okay, she sees Max J. Rosenberg, producer. So her first response as a chick from the Midwest is, ew, he's Jewish. Oh, God. Yuck, I would never fuck him. But then underwards, it says producer.
And then the next panel, they're fucking in the back of his car. But, yeah, he's a slimy, well, maybe he ain't a slimy bastard. What happened next? Oh, he knocked her up and he conveniently didn't remember her. Oh, this guy's name is, he is a slimy, sucky bastard. You know, that kind of stuff is hereditary. His name is Max J. Rosenberg. He is the grandfather. I know for a fact, the grandfather of comic book podcaster Bruce Rosenberg. Another slime ball. These things run in the family. Fuckers.
Wait a minute. Why do we hate him again? There's so many podcasters out there we make fun of. Oh, that's right. The Ebony White thing.
More than that, he's also a weaselly bastard who goes on another podcast and can't confront and talk to me or say it himself.
No. I've got this will make you even angrier at him. There was an episode of something called, it was some like cartoon podcast within like Bruce Rosenberger's like main cast, and they spent like a whole 2-hour podcast in this one. One I will point out again on Rosenberger's show because it's one of his shows. Basically, like, praising, Bosco the Talking Kid as being such a great character. Why, just look at him! Okay, you know what? Okay, go ahead and minimize the comic. I want you to look up Bosco the Talk, B-O-S-K-O, Bosco the Talking Kid.
Just Talking Kid, a regular talking?
Talk-Inc.
Or Talk-Inc Kid. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to look this up. Remember, when you do this, edit this part out where I'm looking up the stuff so you can edit out the boring parts.
No, but this isn't boring. Because I want everybody out. In fact, I want, hey, everybody listening to this. If you think Bruce Rosenberger is not a racist, look up Bosco the Talk Inc. Kid.
Oh, no, I'm saying you keep all that shit in, but I'm saying the part where I'm typing up. Right now, where I'm typing.
Well, that's why I'm talking over your typing up to keep the audience sufficiently entertained.
Oh, you're doing what they call it? They call it vamping. Yeah, vamping.
Okay, I guess I'm vamping then.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, and another reason we should all fuck 4-year-old girls is, just look at them.
Oh, now who is Bob?
Just to look at like. The soft, tender nipples of a 4-year-old girl.
Anyway,
knowing
I found
that one day they will blossom into the nipples of a 5-year-old girl. Oh, you said you found it?
In keeping with the stereotypes of minstrel shows, Bosco is a natural singing, dancing, and playing any instrument. Oh, so he's supposed to be a stereotype of a... what the fuck is he supposed to be? Is he a human?
He's a buckwheat. He's an ebony. I mean, are those humans? I don't know.
He got his personality from blackface characters in the minstrel and vaudeville shows of the 1930s.
Oh, by the way, I had to check this out. So if you want me to send you the cartoon, the first Bosco cartoon.
Oh my God. And it says, wear a Disney mask, Mickey, by making him a mouse. Harmon and Ising made Bosco a genuine black boy. Oh, so he prayed, you mean Bruce Rosenberg also praises this character?
Yes. Actually, Bruce, although I do think he has praised Bosco.
He didn't praise him.
Bruce actually brought in like cartoon experts to give sufficient praise to the Bosco character.
Right, but did they at least give a caveat like, back in the days, people, you know, this is not politically correct. Is not
okay. I know this may upset you, but no, not really.
Did they even mention that at all? That this is their minstrel with black?
I don't remember anything of that kind. I'm trying to. All right, I can honestly say not that I remember really know.
What the? Why, out of all the characters in the
he's
world?
He's a great character. They said so on Comic Cast.
But how, out of all the characters in the whole of animation, why would they praise this, and why would he would praise, what's his name, Ebony White? And then out of all the hundreds and thousands of characters, they're going to go back and pick Bosco, racist caricature, as
well,
one of the-
it's only conjecture on my part, but there is a segment of the American populace that does crave for a return to, well, the good old days.
I thought they were only the people who live in the Deep South who are still wear sheets over their heads.
Okay, well, I live in Pennsylvania, although I do live in Philadelphia, which along with Pittsburgh are the only civilized areas of PA. The rest of the state, on the other hand, yeah, really not a lot of difference between the rest of Pennsylvania and, like, I don't know, Georgia or South Carolina.
But this is 2009. I thought that was phased out mostly.
You should hear some of the stuff I've heard people say about Obama when he was elected. And I just want to laugh at all of those people because they all said they'd leave the country and they're all still here. yeah.
Oh, hold on. I got a little audio. I think maybe you can hear it from Bosco. You sound a little like...
Yeah. That's from that first cartoon. Like Buckwheat or any of them.
You sound like Amos Andy. I sure feels
there
good.
There you go. That's exactly.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So there you go, Bruce.
And by the way, what does it say about American culture that, like, you could still hear stuff like old Amos and Andy's on the radio as, like, recently as, like, the early 80s? Yeah, there's an AM station here that used to play, like, old-time radio, which sometimes was great because you'd hear Lights Out and, like, sci-fi and horror stuff, but they would also play stuff like Amos and Andy.
But there's a documentary on Amos and Andy, and they got one of the old black comedians to host it. It was from the 80s, from the early 80s, and it was all the defense of Amos and Andy. He said, oh, well, this the first black people was putting on TV, and these are talented black people that they put on. He was defending it, and he was a black comedian.
Well, yeah, but see, in the beginning,
I know I disagree with it, but then they was like, oh, they had one. It's an hour documentary. It wasn't documented like an hour news special praising Amos and Andy, and only one dissenting voice from the NAACP, and they didn't even let him finish his sentence. They just cut it off.
You know what I'm thinking of is, was it Hollywood Shuffle? Like they wanted the dude to play this degrading part, and he's like, "No, I'm out of here. Bye." He just leaves. Meanwhile, like the suck up black guy raises his hand. He's like, "I'll do it."
Yeah, that's what happened. And they saying it was biased. They were trying to say it was a documentary looking at both sides. But anyway, yeah. So now, yeah, this is cemented that what's his name face. Bruce Rosenberger, you know, is a kind of backwards thinking, but that nerve of this bastard, Derek Coward on his show.
Oh, here we go.
Nerve to tell a story and two people are talking with that little girl who got like depression or something. He was talking to her telling, yeah, when I was at one of my jobs, just how backwards they were. I went in the office complaining about, I mean, to talk about something to get my paycheck or something. And they had a Confederate flag on a desk. And I couldn't believe it. And I actually wrote in and I made a complaint about this. There was like two Confederate flags in this day and age in my office. I'm like, so that offends you. But the fact that one of your so-called good friends thinks that Ebony White is nothing racing the bottom and he's a good character. And now he's praising another minstrel character. You don't have no problem with that.
Why do like these, shall I say, Southern types, why would they even want to fly a Confederate flag? Because to like the rest of us, that's them saying, we lost. We're losers.
Well, it's probably defiance. And just saying, well, it was the good old days. and they wanted to keep it that way. But now look what we got now. A bunch of niggas running around making complaints about it. Okay. A bunch of backward niggas about like, Derek Howard. Oh, wait a minute. He likes Bruce Rosenberger. He's fine by us. But the rest of you Negroes, the rest of you uppity Negroes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know there was actually a comic book called Captain Confederacy? And it took place in an alternate reality where, like, the South won the Civil War.
Yeah, but
the guy wears, like, a Confederate flag costume, like he's, like, the Southern Captain America.
Oh, no, but it was probably made in the 90s or 2000s, right, as a joke and a
make-it-fun. No, it was made in the 80s, but, like, to be fair, like, it was all done with, like, the knowledge that this is a horrible thing that exists and, like, this reality is a terrible, like, thing. But, like, when it starts out, like, he's Captain Confederacy. And
was there any black people in the comic?
Yeah, he had, like, a sidekick. Hey, man, the South won the Civil War, right? So, hey.
Was he progressive sidekick intelligent?
Although he was intelligent when he was out fighting crime with Captain Confederacy, like, he had to put on an act for this, you know, for the citizenry. He had to be, like, oh, looky here, Captain Confederacy. You know, we shall be the good guys. And, like, Captain Confederacy would pat him on the back. And like, that's right, loyal sidekick.
So.
I would just be interested in knowing what you would think about that comic. That's what I'm saying.
Thumbs down. Because even though they're supposed to be making fun, it's still the black person not fighting back. He's still.
Well,
he's like Rochester on the Jack Benny show. He's this Rochester, the character on Jack Benny. Oh, this is, don't you try to pretend as like it's before your time, but it probably.
No. That's why, well, it is before my time, but that is, but I know of all that, which is why I'm like, ooh, yeah. But in my defense, I only read the first issue and to me, it seemed like they were setting everything up to like make a point. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah, but like,
go ahead.
The Hattie McDaniel show, Rochester, they was supposed to be the smartest one in the room, but they were still the servant at the end of the day. And it's the same thing. Oh, yeah, and another minstrel show character is called Falcon. He was a sidekick to Captain America. Yeah. At the end of the day, he was still the sidekick. He was a grown-ass man, but he was still a sidekick to Captain America. Go ahead.
Well, at a certain point, though, yeah. In fact, I don't know if you read these, but in the 70s, they had the Falcon, like, revealed to have, like, been a drug addict and a criminal, like, before he hooked up with Captain America and,
in the Cosmic Cube.
but here's the thing, though. Even so, like, at least Marvel had black characters. Go ahead. Did you ever see, like, anybody black in Metropolis?
Well, yeah. In the Suicide Slum, Black Lightning.
Well, that wasn't even until, like, the mid to late 70s. And, oh, where did I just read this? Oh, in the Comics Journal. The guy, then he was a kid. The kid they got to draw that, like, he went to DC and he thought he was... You know, they liked his art. He thought he was going to have this great career drawing Superman and Batman. And instead they're like, oh, here, you got to meet this one particular editor. And it turned out it was the guy who was coming out with Black Lightning. And basically, like, they were all thrilled that they found somebody black to draw the book.
Well, was he happy to draw the first black superhero at DC?
Well, he did. It's not like he turned the work down or anything, but, at the same time, like, in 2009, he is, like, offended and upset at how that worked out.
But did he get to eventually draw Batman Superman after Lightning?
He's drawn, like, at least maybe a couple Superman and Batman stories, but, like, they never, like, offered him the book. Like, he wasn't ever, yeah.
Yeah, they just said, oh, you're here. As a minority, to draw the minority comic.
Pretty much, yeah. So that's why I'm saying, you'd say whatever about Marvel, but DC was always like 10 times worse.
It don't matter. One lesser evil is still...
Well, that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
So anyway, so as she got pregnant by the producer, and she got to raise a baby by herself, he's a deadbeat dad. And,
oh, she's got herself a new, like, old guy to fuck who has money, and, he's like, hey, hook up with me, and I'll treat you right, just, you gotta dump the kid. And she does! She actually, like, gives the child up to an adoption center, and then first thing on the next page, she's, like, with the guy in a bar, and, he's laughing at her, and he's like, marry you? You can't be serious. What would my wife say?
Trenchcoat Mafia, is that Trenchcoat grandfather?
Maybe.
And he pushed her away. He said, get out here, you moron. Who would have taken me seriously?
Like, wait. Yeah, well, she is a dumbass. Because, yeah. Look, the bartender's laughing at her.
I thought bartenders were there to console people.
Nah, that's an old school 1954 bartender. He's like, this bitch doesn't even belong in here.
And now the lovely and talented Miss Courtney Coombs.
Podcast X is for the pedos, Tim Quid, Hayden, District 9. Trekkie, you're such a fucking nerd and Vixen should not get another tattoo. She will die of ink poisoning. Trenchcoat Mafia told me to tell everyone how awesome he is. And Starhawk, I can see you out my window. It's creepy. But not as creepy as a story about a girl raised by spiders.
And then now she suddenly went crazy. I gotta get her back. I gotta get my baby back.
Yeah, and she finds the baby with her, like, new adoptive parents, and she kidnaps if you can call it kidnapping, she takes her own baby. And I just want to say that baby looks really sexy.
The interview is over.
But no, seriously, maybe it's because it's one of those, like, Spanish artists that just have to draw sexy bitches.
Okay, well, that tells you that the baby is bald-headed, is short, is asexual, so that tells us about Trenchcoat Mafia and what he...
No, you're looking at this objectively. I am imposing upon the baby the sexuality I want that baby to have.
Anyway, so moving on. This is okay.
Like a hot 1-year-old bitch, man. Mm, yeah.
Yeah, I want to say to the police, anybody listening, I don't know this guy. I'm in California, and I'm here to, condemn.
Wait. But you don't criticize the artist for drawing a sexy baby.
He did. Like you said, you're opposing what you think about it. But why you know what? Here, let's pray. Let's pray, and let's get all the demons out of this podcast.
I will pray. Lord Satan, give unto me the power to rape all the baby bitches I want and get totally away with it.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, she takes the baby. What's her baby? She takes her daughter home, and she's saying, don't cry, Christabel. It's all right now. Mama's here. Mama will never go away again. See, now that she's aged a bit and she's frankly ugly now, now she has turned into a good person because she will never have another man. So now it's safe for her to, like,
a good person. She put her baby in the attic with spiders, big spiders running around.
And so you're criticizing her for making sure the baby that she kidnapped is safe.
It is not safe. There's big spiders around. She's keeping it there.
They're not like tarantulas or like any venomous, now they can't be, because you know what? There's lots of big spiders in this attic, and as we see, like, year after year, she keeps the baby in the attic. If any of these spiders were venomous, they would, like, just tear that baby the fuck up. But I do like that she lets the police search her house and everything, because she's under suspicion. They're like,
why didn't they look in the fucking attic?
Because they're idiots!
Who's this, a Keystone Cops?
Wait a minute, actually, isn't the story set in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay, so you already know the explanation to that issue, that question you have there. Yeah.
You see Daryl Gates.
Well, no, as they're searching the house, they're like, and look at them bored trying to watch her from outside in their car, surveilling her. Like, you can just tell the one cop there is thinking, is it time to beat Rodney King yet?
And the little girl, it shows her growing up. The bitch didn't let the baby out of the attic at all.
This is a great page. A lot of the Warrens from this, like, time period had these, like, really good Spanish artists that, of course, James Warren hired because they were cheap. But, yeah, like we were just talking about in the other comic, he pretty much let them do whatever they wanted to, and they would do, like, collage pages like this, for example. That's frankly striking. I would like to own the original art for this. I mean, no, seriously.
I mean, no, with it.
No, it's nice. It's creepy.
In the middle, this will be Spider-Woman or what?
No, it's like a little, like, 10-year-old girl with a spider crawling up her because she is one with the spiders. And, like, here she is in the left-hand corner. She looks about, she's kind of old because it says she's 24. But, you know, we do get to see her, like, budding titties and everything. It's like,
and why didn't she give her any clothes for 24 years? What's wrong with this woman?
Why give her clothes? She's never going out.
Don't it get cold in that? Well, it is L.A., but still, in the winter, it gets cold.
Okay, Tim, if you had a naked bitch in your attic, would you give her clothes?
Well, if I'm their parent... Anyway,
should that really matter? Haven't we moved beyond that? It's like, so what? Like, if a nice, kindly daddy wants to, like, fuck his little girl, like, what's really wrong?
How dare you? This podcast is over. It's out. I'm going back to Doom. We're morally correct at Doom, and we're looking out for people.
Yeah, but I'll just point out that it will not annoy your arch enemy, MC Trekkie, if you do more Doom, but it will annoy him if you're on more Podcast X.
Okay, yeah, I can stick around a little longer. And the mom is watching over her daughter all those years, this crazy bitch. And I don't know why I keep talking about every time the mother sees the spiders, she gets scared for a second, but then... She says, but then she shrugs it off. After all, Crystal was happy, and she must do nothing to shatter that happiness.
And that's a great comment. Even you have to admit, that is a sexy panel right there with the naked little girl. Well, she's 24 now, but yeah. But the naked woman, the naked young woman, and she's, like, really hot, and she's, like, stroking the spiders, like, realizing she wants, like, horrible, evil things like Trenchcoat Mafia to fuck her.
No, because how can they draw on her sexily when they later on explain that she is stank because she didn't wash, she never brushed her hair?
That's coming up. But I do want to point out that just like the other comics, these great comics have proven that you can have basically a, like, retardedly stupid chick and still make her hot.
But you can't. It wouldn't make sense and realize she wouldn't look like that.
But see, she wasn't born retarded. She's just never had, like, any stimulation at all to, like,
yeah,
for her
that's
brain
what
to
I'm,
develop.
She don't gotta be dead. Yeah, she don't gotta be. She didn't wash. She could have a normal mind, but the fact that she didn't learn anything and she.
And that's why I want to point out to, you know, all you men out there listening. Yeah, apparently all you have to do is kidnap some little baby girl. And put her up in a closet and, like, take care of her, and you will just have yourself the ultimate mindless sex slave.
But since she wouldn't be in the sun like this girl, she'd be in the attic. That means her body would be malformed. She would be pale, sickly.
Well, no, pale chicks can be hot.
She wouldn't be able to talk to you and give you any stimulating conversation.
Exactly. You don't gotta worry about the bitch fucking opening her mouth, cause what's she gonna say? You pat her on the head. You know, I mean, yeah, it's just a nice scenario. It's like returning the female gender to where it belongs before, like, idiots in 1920, we gave them the vote. Then they got full of themselves, they thought they had rights, they got jobs, it was a mess. And that's why we have what we have today.
And today, a lineman, I guess a guy who repairs telephone lines and shit, he discovered her by accident when he was up on a roof trying to fix the telephone line. He looked in a window.
And come on, you do have to admit here in the panel where he does find her, and he's, like, broken open this, like, wall or window or whatever, and she's crouching on, like, her hands and knees, and she's, like, staring like an idiot. God damn, is she hot. Like, all that bitch exists for is for me to fuck.
She looked like Tawny Katane in the 80s video, a white snake hair.
Well, actually, with all that hair, yes, she does.
And that's why it don't make sense, because Tawny Katane had to blow dry, comb her hair and stuff. But here it says this girl never brushed her hair.
Well, she's got no, it's probably never been cut.
So it should be a matty mess. It should look matty and nasty with bugs crawling through it.
This is a comic book. This is fantasy. Stop ruining my sex story.
And she said, this girl had never seen light before. Okay, she should be screaming in agony with the light bursting through like that.
I love.
She should be blind.
Well, she kind of is for a second. I do like this caption that the man knew instantly what he had stumbled upon. He'd read about sick cases like this before, where people locked away their children and treated them like caged animals. And that saves like a page of exposition, that one little caption, so I approve.
And yeah, this reminds me of that story, Nellie or Nell, with Jodie Foster. She lived in an attic and couldn't talk right.
I didn't see that, but on SNL, Janine Garofalo, like, played Nell, and she, like, they're trying to talk to her. She's like, Chippewa! And I'm like, I will never see this fucking actual movie. Never. They can't make me.
So, you know.
She is the, let me just trash Jodie Foster. That bitch, Jodie Foster, is the least sexual female on the planet now that Esther Rolle is dead.
Wait a minute, you never thought that she was attractive in her, and I know when she's a kid, she looked like a little.
I was going to say only in Taxi Driver.
That wasn't that. Oh, that was how she was played, a 12-year-old prostitute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did she look? You didn't think she was attractive, like in like the as an adult, a young adult, accused, all these other.
You know why? Because the girl's got no fucking eyebrows, which is like sort of a warning sign. Lesbian.
Well, she is one, so she's probably not trying to make herself really attractive to guys.
There's no excuse. I mean, just because a bitch is a lesbian, you know, it's like, you don't have to look like Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres is an attractive lady.
What?
How dare you? Anyway.
And oh, I see. Because B. Arthur's dead now, you're going to have to lust after Ellen DeGeneres. Okay, I get it.
He said to the girl who should be dirty, but instead she looks like a perfect centerfold.
No, but the caption, that's because you have a horny Spanish guy drawing it. You have a caption here telling us she was filthy.
She should look like it, but she don't look like it.
I love this. Her smell was like an unwashed animal's.
Yeah, okay, so that don't put you off.
No, I'm laughing because meanwhile, like, her naked in the panel below the caption, like, she looks like the hottest girl on earth. I mean.
And he's getting closer and closer.
Well, of course. Look at her.
Her hair had never been combed. Her clothing was ragged. First of all, she ain't wearing no clothes. Okay, I'll bet the writer put that in there. Her hair was never been combed. And she looked disheveled and fucked up.
I think the writer she never had clothes. Here's the thing. This is a case where the artist is hornier than the writer. The writer is like, her clothing was blah blah. The artist is like, I'm drawing me a naked chick.
Exactly. And this guy's like, hurry, we gotta get out of here before you get caught. But yes, he's supposed to be rescuing her, but then it turns. First of all,
I just want to say this panel here on the next page where you see her face in the upper left-hand
looks
side.
Like a French, one of the French movies.
I'm wondering if the artist used photo reference at all, because yeah, that's like very like there. Like yeah.
Yes.
So
you want to fuck?
Yeah. How would you not want to fuck that girl? Come on, really.
Okay, you're supposed to be taking her away, a lineman, and instead
she's a hot naked chick.
Okay, how could you say a girl? Well, the writer wrote, she smells disgusting.
Okay,
her hair's a matty mess. There's bugs crawling through her lice. She's dirty, but he's gonna kiss her.
The writer also writes, but he realized she was at his side, and when she moved, she could feel some curves, her full, delicious breasts pressing firmly against his body. And you cannot tell me the way she is looking at him. That is a total fuck me right now face.
Yeah, but what about your civic duty to save this woman from this disgusting wretchedness instead of taking advantage of her?
My duty is to give this poor, innocent girl what she wants and to make her happy by fucking her. And by the way, he apparently agrees.
I guess it's like Samuel Jackson said in Shaft, it's my duty to smack that booty. Anyway, see, yeah, he fucked her.
Can we call that one the remake? Can we call that fake Shaft?
Yeah, that's all right with me. But it is Samuel Jackson, remember?
Yeah, I know. I'm conflicted, but... I mean, they remake everything and it annoys me.
They said they lay in the dark for a long while after that. Okay, I thought you were supposed to be getting her up out of there.
Yeah, but what's more important? Okay, you know what? Be honest. What would you do? Hot naked chick that wants to fuck you right then and there versus you doing the right thing and taking her away.
I would do the right thing.
I know. Because
first of all, she stinks. It says she stinks and smells, and her hair is matty and nasty, and she won't look like this. She'll be deformed. She'll be the light, the blinding light. She'll be screaming. She'll be like, can't talk.
Okay. Let me point out that, I'm gonna twist this. This is a bitch that is willing to submit to you on behalf of all white bitches.
She's still stinking.
Oh, man. Hold your fucking breath.
Okay. I can't hold my breath that long. But she's... And what's she supposed to be doing in this picture where they lay in the dark? Where's her body? I can't tell. Why, her head is on... Is that his crotch? She's sucking his dick.
I think they're... Well, I think they're on the floor and she's, like, laying diagonally. And, yes, you could actually just interpret that as she's sucking his dick. Like, again, the writer may have written an innocent caption and then they slept. And he's like, no, man, I want to show the dude, no, she's got to because I'm trying to see if there's motion lines around the head, like it's moving up and down.
And then talk about a case of the blue balls when he gets up to put his clothes on. The mother come at him with one of those fucking.
No, it's sicker than that. That's her.
Oh, that's her?
That's her with the, what is that called? Those things.
I don't know, a sickle or something.
That, like, it opens and shuts. Yeah, a sickle or a machete or whatever the fuck that, like.
The Children of the Corn? Yeah, the Children.
Thank you! That the Children of the Corn had? yeah, the dude's, like, all terrified, like, wait, what the fuck? It's like, I just gave you the gift of sex! What?
Yeah. Why? He said, why?
Yeah, she's just killed him. And then, as it says, the mother comes home and sees, like, the open door or window and is starting to freak out. But her daughter is just laying there with her spiders crawling on her, and she's naked, sleeping. And the mother is so happy. Like it says, she barely notices the torn apart what's left of the naked guy in the corner. In fact, it says she was too overjoyed that her baby was safe. That's a good mother.
And we see Crystal Bell. She dreamed beautiful dreams. You've been so perfect. The male, the mating, the ritual, and the feast.
Yeah. I love these last panel with the captions. How often she had seen her little friends mating. If not for them, she might never have known what to do. It did seem like such a waste, though.
For the female to eat the male afterwards. Well, that's not a waste. You eat what you kill. But anyway, my point is that's disgusting. This is nasty.
No, it's happy and joyous. She got to have sex. So, you know, and apparently she's satisfied. She's sleeping very, like, contentedly.
But listen, even you said you read this as a kid. I know it gave you lots of nightmares and you didn't like it as a kid and as an adult.
This may have been the sexiest story I had encountered in any medium up to that point in time. Holy fuck.
You sick bastard. Now see, this is what they mean. This is what they're talking. This is what Wortham was talking about. He has a point. Okay. Look what Yoki will turn out to be.
Did you see the ending coming?
Yeah, but look what it did to your mind as a child.
It did nothing to my mind.
You like seven-year-old girls. Well, you're a pedophile. You're violent. You're misogynist.
Good girls are quiet. They kill when they have to. They should all be naked.
I'll never let my kid read comics.
You know, what's interesting is about these Warren magazines is the fact that they were magazines meant that they never had to carry the comics code to be sold.
Mm-mm-mm. And yet, and kids got a hold of it. How did you get a hold of it as a child?
My first Warren comic magazine, I think, was actually sold in one of those, like, packs you would get at a variety store. I don't even remember what other comics magazines might have been in it, probably, like, Planet of the Apes or something. But, like, one of them was an issue of Eerie with, like, vampires fucking and killing. And I am like, this is the greatest shit ever. Must find more Warren magazines.
It's good. It is good. And nowadays, kids can't get a hold of stuff like this so easy. They have to go to a comic book shop where they have stories like this in the back, even, and have it. Only 18 or older can go past this point. Isn't that great?
You know, that's funny, because I could have swore I was reading, like, Twisted Tales and stuff like that before I was 18, so they must not have always limited
that's right. That's then when all of this was proliferate, you know, all over the place. But now I'm saying nowadays a kid can't get a hold of something like this so easy.
Okay, kids, read these comics. Warren horror magazines are great stuff. Lots of nudity and violence and all that stuff that your parents lied to you and told you shouldn't be reading.
But kids, you find it won't be easy nowadays. It's not in 7-Eleven.
And that's why, kids, use DC++. Use Mininova.org. Use whatever means of downloading these comics you have to.
So not only are you recommending these kids read Mind Warping Entertainment, but that they steal it?
I do have a limit. I think that these comics are best appreciated by kids who know how to read.
Okay. So you mean 17 and older?
5 or 6. These comics are for you. But in fact, I would like to recommend a specific comic strip called Chester the Child Molester. Oh, wait, actually.
Okay, this has been Podcast X, and I'm your host, Timmy Doom. You can find me on the Doomcast, www.doomcast.blogspot.com.
In the comic strip's defense, it was actually just called Chester the Molester. Chester the Child Molester is just me trying to, improve upon that concept as well.
Disgusting bastard.
Come on. Like, okay. Who's that bitch from The Craft you want to fuck? Rachel
True.
Okay. Would you fuck her if she was only 30?
Of course.
Would you fuck her if she was
25? I'll be right on it.
Would you fuck her if she was 20?
Yes.
Would you fuck her if she was 19?
At this point, we can. Well, yeah, she's the legal of age. So, yeah, I would.
Okay, let me just cut a couple steps here, probably. What's the age of consent in California?
I think 17.
Okay, if she was 17, would you fuck her?
No, because then it would be wrong. I'm 37, and people, you know, plus I need a certain amount of maturity in the girl herself, because 22 is pushing it.
I thought we just agreed it'd be, like, retarded. It'd be okay to fuck this retarded spider bitch.
No, that's what you said. It's not okay, because one, she's going to kill you, and two, you're taking advantage of a woman whose mind is not developed properly. You need to go on and get her some nutrition, get her to the proper social services.
You know what? I think it's more important to give her some much needed happiness and human contact.
Yeah,
so guys,
see what happened to him.
Guys, if you're out there and you see like an underage bitch and you can just tell by looking at her that she wants it, go for it. I give you my approval as Trenchcoat Mafia.
And that's going to go a long way in a court of law.
I'm sure that'll go a long way in a court of law. All I'm saying is they want it. And when they're, like, trying to fight you off, and they're, like, punching you and hitting you in the face, and, like, they go for the knife or, like, you know, spray they carry or whatever they've got, you know, that's just them playing a little game.
Okay.
All the bitches out there, they all want it. And I say, give it to them. Am I recording? I'm recording now.
Okay. No, oh, wrong code. Anyway, we can edit. Podcast X. It's for the pedos. Oh no, I'm out of rhythm. God damn it! It's not natural to me. Yeah, I didn't really think about this before, did it? Should we do it faster or slower?
Oh, okay. I was trying to totally stay out of it. It's up to you. It's funny enough that you're doing this in the first place. I don't think it matters.
Okay. I'm overthinking this. No.
See, that's why it was so funny when you weren't thinking about it at all.
It was terrible.
It was great.
Podcast X. It's for the pedos. Zoom. Timmy Zoom. Would you please stop hating District 9? And Starhawk, get out of my window. It's creeping me out. Creepy, like a girl raised by spiders. And Trenchcoat, he paid me to say that he's very awesome. The end. There we go.